Friends, we would like to establish the foundation upon which Christadelphians come and speak from these platforms about the things of the Word of God. As a community, we are Bible students, and we stand securely on a complete inspiration of the Bible. Now, all the churches will claim that the Bible is their textbook, but it's quite common that if there's a passage which doesn't agree with your particular teaching or doctrine, then it's got to be spiritualized, or it's got to be removed, or it's a wrong translation. The only way to faithfully study the Word of God is to start off with a firm conviction that this Bible is completely the inspired Word of God. Outside of the Bible, we have no authority. Therefore, we need to examine its claims, and individually we have to satisfy ourselves of its accuracy. We are, as Christadelphians, satisfied that the Bible is what it claims to be. It stood the test of time. It has many different writers who wrote over a 1600-year period of time, and they've all got the same message, and though without contradiction. The only explanation is its own explanation, and that is that God is the author, and that he oversaw everything that was recorded in that book, and therefore we can have confidence in it. The Bible is full of prophecies, which were told many years before they happened. It's not our purpose to go into any of those tonight. But if you have a look at them, you can convince yourself that nobody but the Creator could ever have foretold the future hundreds and thousands of years into the future. And he's 100% accurate every time. That in itself is sufficient proof that it's what it claims to be, the powerful, inspired Word of God. So we believe that this book is without peer. We believe that it claims to be God's inspired Word, and we'll go to Timothy directly and show you just that. We believe that it's the only source of knowledge concerning God's purpose at present extent or available in the earth. And think about that for a moment. We can't go to the history books. We can't go to the scientific records. We can't go to the trees or the animals and find out exactly what God is doing. We can see things around us which represent the mind of a very powerful and intricate and creator full of wisdom, but they are silent concerning his purpose with the earth and the things he requires us to understand and appreciate. The Bible is the only source of that knowledge, and therefore it is to the Bible that we must go. It is wholly given by the inspiration of God in the writers, and is consequently without error in all parts, except perhaps it might be due to translations, but they can easily be checked out and seen. So that is the basis upon which we stand. And I'd like you to come to 2 Timothy 3 and at verse 16, because there we have a testimony from the Apostle Paul, who claimed to be writing by the power of the Spirit of God. And he says in verse 3 of 2 Timothy and at chapter 16, or maybe we can come back to verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, Timothy. He'd been brought up, we read in the commencement of his book, by his mother and his grandmother, to understand and to appreciate what was recorded in the Word of God. And what he would have had was the Old Testament. So you've known that from a child, Timothy. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So here we have testimony that in fact the Bible claims to be the inspired Word of God. The Bible is remarkable. We would find it difficult in this one age to take everybody in this room and get them to write down the course of events that have taken place during the course of this address, and then put them together and see whether they all agree. We would find that extremely difficult, and that's at the one time. Whereas what God has done over 1600 years selected writers from different places, from different ages, got them to write down his words, and there is no discrepancy whatsoever. The 66 books are all in agreement. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. Now the Holy Spirit is a term that's used for the power of God. Holy being a separate, such as we have before us, a Bible, which is the Holy Bible, it's a separate Bible. And the Spirit being the power of God, being that by which he permeates the earth and the heavens, and by which he was able to move men to write such as he would have them to write. Hebrews 1 says, God spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the scriptures that Timothy had. He hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. 2 Peter 1 says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it claims to be written by the finger of God. And in that we can be assured, and therefore we can be confident, that what we're reading is what God wants us to read. Who can tell the future? In Deuteronomy chapter 13, we are given two tests upon which we can test a prophet. One is as to whether the miracle or the wonder that they speak of actually comes to pass, if they foretell something that's going to take place in the future. And secondly, as to whether their doctrine is right, as to whether they would go have us believe other gods. So there's two tests. And we must see whether in fact we can understand and appreciate the things that are told to us. So if somebody were to come forth and to bring forth their own ideas, the place for us to test them is in the Bible. To the law and the testimony, Isaiah says, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So therefore, as Bible students, we need not worry about what's not been revealed. It's quite sufficient for us to know what is contained in this book. God and his Son, the understanding of which is life eternal, as we saw in John 17 and at verse 3. Now in Deuteronomy 29, Moses records that the secret things belong unto God. That is, those things which he has not chosen to reveal at this point, they are God's. But he says, the things which have been revealed, they belong unto us and to our children. So that's telling us two things. One, we need not to worry about the things that have not been revealed, but also that we should appreciate the things that have been revealed, absorb them, and pass them on to our children. Because if we break the chain in the link in the chain, then our children will not have the understanding of those words. So it's important, therefore, that we follow out those instructions of Moses.